Matthew chapter 1. Today, we're going to talk about the angels who took part in the announcement of the birth of Jesus and those involved in that birth. So in Matthew chapter 1, I'll read it to you first, biblically, and then I'll tell you about it chronologically. But first of all, concerning angels and their announcement, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, her spouse, they're engaged, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now, Luke chapter 1. Verse 5. There was, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. What is so interesting is that the first high priest, Aaron, also had a wife named Elizabeth, that Elisheba. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And now it falls Zacharias' lot to offer incense. And verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And look at verse 17. And he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient, to walk in the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be silent and not able to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, let's look at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. But she was greatly troubled at that saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that we have read things the like of which men have never heard before. Such a thing could not be conceived. And we thank you for this knowledge that comes from heaven. Lord, how wise your creatures are pertaining to things on earth, learning how man is formed in the womb, learning about the sun and the moon and the stars and the distances and the light, this universe that you created. But our Father, let us know that concerning the things of heaven and your purpose for mankind on earth, they know nothing. We are thankful that you've given us your word, this inspired word, our God, that tells us about it. And though we would like to know so much more, and yet you've told us so little, yet, our Father, thou hast told us enough to cause our hearts to thrill and to make us to see that though you have been silent so long, your silence does not mean that you have departed from men, but you have a plan, our Father, and a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And when the fullness of time comes, your plan is accomplished. We thank you that we know this, our God, and it is our desire that all men might know it, that you have determined that Jesus Christ shall be preeminent, and that this ultimately shall come to pass. And this day we have read how you're going to bring it to pass. So illumine us by that same Spirit that brought our Savior into the world. Illumine our hearts and empower the lips of him who speaks, because we desire to glorify the name of thy Son. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and indeed glorify thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. It is impossible to figure out the ways of God. Because from the very beginning, from the day in which man sinned, there has been the announcement that God has a remedy for that sin, and his Son is going to come into the world. When Eve sinned, our God tells us that I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the serpent. Thou shalt bruise his head, and he shall bruise thy heel. The serpent's head is going to be crushed. The heel of the seed of the woman is going to be bruised. God himself said that. But afterwards, you'll find in scripture after scripture, prophecies telling us how all these things are going to come to pass. But the scriptures tell us prophetically, but when these things are going to come to pass, angelically, they are proclaimed. God and his prophets tell about it in a prophetical way. But God has seen fit to send angelic beings to proclaim it when the fullness of time comes. And that is the marvel. I would wonder, inasmuch as when we read of the messages that God's angels have given to man, why he did not put off aside and tell his angels to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Because they would do it perfectly. They would do it infallibly. But we, faltering men, stand before God, and while preaching the truth, there was so much of the flesh in it, there was so much that we forget, so many things that we leave out that we should put in and put in that we should leave out. But you'll find that when the angels come and preach, they say exactly what God wants said. They add nothing to it. They take nothing away from it. And they do it with perfect propriety. How often have I seen preachers get in the pulpit and make fools of themselves? They are third-rate comedians. But you listen to the language of angels when they come to speak for God. There is sobriety. There is reverence. There is dignity. Why? Because they understand, as you and I who preach are to speak as the oracles of God, they come and they do speak as the oracles of God. And this is why God has chosen the angels to make the announcement of the birth of Christ's forerunner and the birth of Christ himself by angels. They're so fit to do this. If you look in the Bible and learn about angels, and I will tell you just a little bit about these messengers, you will marvel at them. I told you last week that the birth that they are announcing of Jesus, the Lord Jesus at that time was called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And it says all things were created by him. And so these angels that are now announcing his beginning, because Jesus began in the manger at Bethlehem. The eternal Word of God was without the beginning. In the beginning, whenever there was a beginning, was the Word. And this eternal Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is the marvel, that these angels who saw our Savior create all things now come and announce that their Creator is going to experience a creation. You say, how can that be? It says in Hebrews, a body hast thou prepared me. And so this astounds angels. They are not able to comprehend. Which brings out their wisdom. And if anyone were able to understand it, they would. And if anyone were able to project the future and know it to perfection, it would be these angels. Because God tells us in the book of Daniel that the same angel that came and spoke to Zechariah and spoke to Mary hundreds of years before spoke and explained scripture to Daniel. At times, I, as a teacher of the Word of God, am called upon by men, explain this passage to us. And I seek to do it. But if you read the book of Daniel and see all of its details, its intricacies, all of its signs, and the way that the future is put before us, and God said, now, you explain this to people, I would say, Lord, you will have to give me divine assistance. But what happens is this, that Daniel is wondering about the vision. He sees this ram with two horns, and he sees this male goat. He sees all these things that are taking place, and he wants to understand them. And God says, Gabriel, go explain this vision unto the man. Isn't that remarkable? That they are able to tell Daniel, and the Bible speaks about you are wiser than Daniel, they have to come and explain to Daniel the things that he's seen, but he's not able to interpret. So this is their wisdom. And it speaks in the Bible when an honor is given to a man, you are wise as an angel of God. And so the scripture tells us about that. And to show how wise they are, when our Savior talks about his coming back to earth again, of that day and hour knoweth no one, and among those, he says, not even the angels of God. Because if anyone would know, the angels of God would know. But some things are kept from them. But this is the difference between them and us, that everything that can be known, they know. God has given them minds. They are not omniscient, but he has given them minds, and with all of their mental abilities, they look at the scriptures and the prophecies, and they understand them. And they want to know the day when Christ is coming again, but God has kept it from them. And you and I have the Word of God, and there are so many things there that we could understand, but we do not read, we do not apply ourselves, we do not fall upon our knees and say, Lord, open unto me thy word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Lord, illumine thy word that I may understand. We do not do that. But there is not an angel in heaven that has not done that and sought understanding of all the prophecies of Scripture. And what is so glorious is this, that this angel Gabriel, who was able to explain to Daniel the interpretation of his prophecies, is told by God, now you explain those prophecies to Daniel, now you go and announce these truths to Zechariah and to Mary. Think of the thrill of that angel. Because of this, you hear many people talking about sinless perfection. There's not one man on earth that is sinlessly perfect. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we lie. The truth is not in us. And so thank God, we are born again. We have that new nature. But until Christ comes and we see him as he is, that sinful nature shall remain in us. But there are beings that are sinlessly perfect, and they are angels. That is why they are called holy. And you and I, since the day we've been saved, how many times have we sinned? That is why God puts in the scripture, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Gabriel, since the day he was created, never committed a sin. He has been engaged in the worship of God, but he has never been engaged in repentance of sin and confession of that sin and asking God to forgive him that sin. Is that not remarkable? Why do you think they are called holy angels? They are called elect angels because just as in the Garden of Eden, there was a time when temptation came, man fell. There was a time when there was no sin in God's universe, and a temptation came, and it arose not from without, but it arose from within until pride, sin, appeared in an angel's heart whose name was Lucifer. And that is when they fell. And now these are evil angels. They are spoken of as the wicked one. And the Bible speaks about the devil and his angels. And they are messengers. They come. And when they come, they tell you lies. But when God's holy elect angels come, they always tell you the truth. They tell you the truth perfectly. They tell you the truth the way that God would have it presented to man. And Gabriel was such an angel. Now, think. Here is this being who looks at us with scorn and bewilderment when we neglect to give reverence to the Lord Jesus as we should. When women in an assembly do not behave as they should, and men as well. It says, for this cause ought a woman to be covered because of the angels. And not only so, they do not understand what disobedience is, these elect angels. You have angels that are watching among men, and you have also angels that are watching in the church. And in Daniel chapter 4, these angelic beings are called watchers. They're called various things. At times they're simply called men. At times they're called angels, which I may tell you about later, but they are called watchers. Why? Because in the Bible it says, the iniquity of the Amorite is not full. God has certain angels that look from heaven and watch every action of man. When this sin is committed, and that sin is committed, and the next sin, and finally, the last sin is committed, and the watchers in heaven cry out, judgment! And when they cry out judgment, immediately God acts upon the intelligence that He's given them. And so they do not understand disobedience. They do not understand faithlessness because they have complete faith in the Word of God. Is that not remarkable? That when Gabriel came with a gospel message, good news of Zacharias, and told him, he expected Zacharias to be of the same faith as himself. And when he told Zacharias this, that God had sent him, and God was going to perform a miracle, Zacharias said, how shall this be? I'm an old man, and my wife is an old woman. How can this be? And Gabriel is filled with indignation, because Zacharias would presume to doubt a message sent by God through him. He knew who he was. He said, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Is that not remarkable? He knows his place. The Bible tells us to know our place, what gift we have, those who are above us and those who are below us. And Gabriel says, my position in God's creation, I am an angel that stands in the presence of God. You'll read in the book of Revelation that there are seven angels that stand in the presence of God. And Gabriel is one of those angels. And he said, because you have doubted what I have been sent from God to tell you, you're going to be dumb until the day that it's accomplished. Now his faith is this. When his wife Elizabeth is with child, Gabriel says, and your kinswoman Elizabeth is with child, because no word that God speaks is going to be without power. You see? Gabriel believes in it. And so they are never without faith. When God speaks, they never sin. And their desire is to do the will of God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no angel, and there are myriads of angels, of the elect holy angels, that have ever disobeyed the will of God. And that's when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so this is the one that is sent by God to three people. One in a dream, and so chronologically, the message comes first of all to Zechariah, announcing the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And next the message comes to Mary, who is to be conceived of the Holy Spirit and to bring forth the Lord. And lastly, an angel in a dream, and this angel is not named, but it shows that they are able to enter into your mind, into your dreams, just as you'll find that evil angels are able to put evil thoughts in your mind, because when Ananias and Sapphira sinned, how is it that this thing has been conceived in thy heart? When Judas is going to betray our Savior, it says, Satan put into his heart. They're able to work upon the minds of men. And it says, seducing spirits. But, by God, they're also angelic beings. And they are able, as it teaches us in Matthew chapter 1, to enter into a dream if something is troubling us in our hearts. For this reason, here is Joseph. And every man in life looks forward to, as God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And he looks forward to having a wife, one that is true, one that is faithful. And Joseph thinks that he's found such an one. And then after he is engaged, and I want you to understand that when someone is espoused or betrothed or engaged, they are spoken of already as your wife. That is the truth that God expects from the heart and lips of men. Today, we go and make promises. I want this. I want you to be my wife. God says, when you say that you're going to marry this woman, your word is binding. Because the angel says, before Joseph has ever married Mary, he says, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That is how marriage and engagement are looked upon by God. And so he says, for this reason, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So think, in the wisdom of God, when the Savior is to be born of a virgin, God tells Mary, but he does not tell Joseph. And Joseph is overcome with sorrow because this woman, whom he thought was a true and faithful spouse, is found with child. And I believe that no one but someone from the other world could convince him that the virgin birth of Christ was a miracle from God, because I'm thinking that if any of us had a spouse, wives, and they came and told us, I'm with child in a supernatural way, how many of us would believe such a thing? But if an angel from God announces it to us in a dream, we have to accept it. And so in the wisdom of God, whereas you and I would have said, bring Joseph and Mary together and let's tell the plan of God to both of them. Why, it very well could be that Joseph would say, why, this is too profound for me. I cannot have as my wife one that is going to bear the Son of God. I cannot accept this. But instead, God tells Mary, then he tells Joseph. And then Joseph is prepared to assume the responsibility of being the husband of Mary, the one through whom the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world. How great a responsibility. I would look for a man that was profound in wisdom, in wealth, in power. And God says, here is a carpenter. He is poor. I'm going to entrust to his hands the care for the mother of my son and for that son until he is of age. Think of that. What a choice. And yet, God did that. And so he chooses Joseph, and just as Mary accepted to become the mother of our Lord, so Joseph accepts to become the husband of the wife who is going to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And an angel announces it, and Joseph accepts it. Now let me tell you this, the sacredness of marriage. You'll find in Deuteronomy chapter 22 that such a situation as I read you. A man is a spouse engaged to a woman, and she's found a child. The Bible says this, that both of them are to be brought to the gate of the city and stoned with stone. You'll never find it carried out, recorded in Scripture, that anyone did this. But this is what should be done. This is what God thinks of sinfulness, deceit. This is the sacredness of marriage. But Joseph, being a righteous man and evidently a tender-hearted man, he had decided to put this woman away privily. Keep it secret. Don't embarrass the woman. How revengeful would some of us be if such a thing were discovered? But Joseph said, no, let her go her way. But then she would have to answer to the next man if this thing had been true. But Joseph has it explained to him, and he accepts it. And understand that Mary has this explained to her, and she accepts it as well. And the angels are the ones that make this announcement. So, I was going to tell you what the word angel meant. When you have the word Malachi, the book of Malachi, it means the messenger of the Lord. But the word Malachi may legitimately be translated the angel of the Lord, because the word angel conveys no thought as to how he looks, what his nature is. It is simply his function before God. And in the New Testament, the word angelos means to make an announcement, The word angel in the New Testament and in the Old Testament simply means that they are God's messengers. And at times, these supernatural beings are spoken of, and at times, human beings are spoken of. But this is the glorious truth, that these angels that know prophecy are able to tell precisely where the announcements they are making are found in Scripture. Isn't that remarkable? That you and I say, where is this prophesied that the Messiah shall have this experience in his life? Every angel in heaven would be able to turn precisely to the Scripture where it was found. And this is why the message is entrusted to them. So these angels, the angels that are active, that are concerned with announcing the birth of Christ, and they are faithful to God, and they brought good news to you. And this is what they say. The name of this holy Son of God shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You see the knowledge of angels? They know about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Ask any angel if Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, and they will say, indeed he is. And ask, what is his name? And they will say, his name is Jesus, because he is the Savior that is sent from heaven into the world. They understand the gospel, and yet the sad thing is this, that the Lord Jesus' death will never redeem one fallen angel. But they who announce that death of Christ, they understand that his death is for the redemption of fallen men, and his death is for you, and the Lord Jesus will redeem you. So the angels have said it, you believe it, and you shall be saved. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we would pray that you would give us the wisdom of angels, the interest of angels. Thou hast told us that these prophetical writings, which things angels desire to look into. We pray that we shall approach the Word of God, knowing that all things that pertain to life and godliness, all truth that man must have, all that is essential, is contained in that book. And thy Son has said, search the Scriptures. And that is what our heart's desire is. We thank you for the example of angels. We thank you for the example of men. We remember that Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, but angels had done it before him. And so help us, Father, to follow the example of angels and to follow the examples of men and to know the truth concerning thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.